Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/AAA. And by Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at QuickenLoans.com/Android. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 292, recorded on Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I am Florence Ion.
Josh, you did it! You did it, man!
He pulled it off.
Mr. Josh Windage is on the ones and twos tonight because Brian is not here. We appreciate your time, Josh.
Ones and twos.
That's right. DJ Mac and Josh is how he should be known. Maybe.
Yeah.
hey, we have a new guest on the show. Someone we've never had on the show. We're super thrilled to welcome Juan Bagnell from Pocket Now.
We just unwrapped him. He's shiny.
Oh, look, we have a Juan. How's it going, man?
I'm super excited to be joining you guys on the show. I've been a longtime fan, so I'm excited to be here to chat Android with you guys.
Excellent.
Awesome.
We really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing over at Pocket Now.
So I'm the senior editor. I'm tackling a lot of the smartphone and the video reviews that are going up on our YouTube channel. And for me, I'm nearing my 1 year anniversary at Pocket Now. That'll happen in January. And they brought me on as to be one of their nuts and bolts guys. So really digging deep into camera tech. We've started a whole new series, really delving into audio performance, trying to nail down which phones really do offer some killer audio for those of us that are into music on the go. Yeah. And then just your all around smartphone, tablets, and wearable shenanigans. That's kind of our beat, and I'm happy to be a part of that team too.
Right on. Well, we really appreciate you joining us tonight, Juan. We've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. A little bit also touches on some hardware that you have in your hands. But we're going to be taking a look at the canceled Project Aura. We kind of have already talked about it, but
when you put it that way,
I know. Pour one out for Project Aura. We're going to celebrate its loss again. The Leaky Blue, the Le Eco Pro 3, the HTC Bolt, the OnePlus 3T, launch of Daydream View, Google's new photo scan app. I mean, we have so much to talk about.
It never stops, I swear.
Yeah, isn't that weird? The news cycle never stops. And I hope you're ready, Mr. DJ Mac and Josh, because it's time for the news.
Warning, if your name is Ron Richards, this segment is probably going to be difficult for you. It's Android News!
Wow, I think that's my first personalized Android news bumper. I'm honored.
I would like a personalized Android news bumper next time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, remember that, Mac and Josh.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that was a thing that we could do, get personalized.
I know.
But the sad thing is that it's gonna make me a very sad panda when we talk about that story, but at least let's delay it as long as we can, Jason.
Yeah, let's delay that sad story with another sad story to start things off here. A backdoor has been discovered in firmware installed on some lower-cost Android devices. Among those affected are Blue products, in particular the Blue R1 HD. The backdoor was created by a Shanghai company called AdUps Technologies to help Chinese manufacturers track behavior for ad purposes. The data that's transmitted included personally identifiable data, things like phone numbers, call log, IMEI, location data, full text message content, applications used by the user, all the
fights
stuff
you've had with your significant other were read by somebody in China if you had one of these phones.
These are Blue phones.
Which are always super cheap.
Yeah, so Blue is primarily a lower end hardware.
Yes, it is. I've never used one, but I've sort of never really been into using one just because I always felt there was something particular. I'm sorry to say this. I always felt there was something particularly fishy about them.
Just a hunch, or
I suppose it was a hunch.
Because I mean, they're Florida company, so it's not like they're like a we're used to seeing like a lot of these kind of lower to mid tier hardware manufacturers from, let's say, China.
Never seen one carried on BART. Let's put it that way. And okay. I've seen
it doesn't pass the BART test.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Juan, have you played around with any of the Blue phones in the past?
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, like, Blue was one of those companies that we turned to before this year. I think 2016 became the year where we started blowing up cheaper handsets, mid-rangers and lower-end handsets. But before this year, Blue was one of those companies that we could turn to for, you know, those of us who wanted that super economical bang for buck, wanted something a little bit different. And that's why I think this news is kind of sad for some of the enthusiasts out there that liked them for those reasons. This is reminding me a lot of what happened with Lenovo a little while back, where certain pieces of software were sort of baked into the consumer experience that now we're left with questions and we're left feeling a little uncertain as to whether or not this is a company we should be doing business with in the future.
Yeah, for sure. This was discovered by CryptoWire in lab testing. I haven't heard of any like secondary kind of research to kind of back that up, but they discover it, reported this to Blue. Blue apparently was very surprised at the discovery, and apparently this particular...
Really?
Yeah, you know, this is what they said
publicly. You mean like how Samsung was surprised their batteries were exploding?
Mm-hmm. I believe that, though. I absolutely believe that.
You're right. Actually, it's not potato.
No, but I believe that Samsung was surprised that the batteries were exploding, and I believe that this company was shocked that this was happening because the way these products are coming together or piecemeal, you're buying a lens and camera processor from this company, from this manufacturer, and you're getting the processor from this manufacturer and this piece of software from another place, and sometimes, these companies might not know every little nook and cranny. They're not building the device from the ground up like an iPhone.
No, they're buying it from these factories in China, just like white label phones, the ones that you can buy in mass. And they're not checking any of the software or anything that's built into it. And they're preying on people. I mean, this upsets me because it's a low-end phone. So it's usually, bought by somebody who wants something affordable. And that really bugs me.
What we have to ask is Blue, do we have any information on whether or not Blue is actually profiting? The information that is being sent around,
it doesn't matter. It's still Miami. Security like that. It's
well,
just
no,
a
but
huge
that's
no-no.
That's what I mean is the idea of Lenovo doing something like this, or the idea of Blue doing something like this, are they knowingly putting the software on there in a way that harms the consumer security experience, or is this something that was completely outside of their control in the manufacturing from what we just described? I mean, this is sort of like Dell in the 90s. They're, the bottom of the barrel, whatever the cheapest component pricing they could get. And that's how we arrive at the pricing for a Blue phone. That's why these things are so economical. I feel that for the consumer protection, you're right. There's not a lot of difference there. But I feel as to whether or not someone might do business with this company in the future, that is an important question to ask. Like, were they actively trying to profit off of this user-generated data, or was this something that was completely out of their hands? And I'm not really sure that one is better than the other, but that might make up that might answer some questions for some people out there whether or not they would ever consider a Blue phone in the future.
It could be one is better than the other, though. I just have to say because Lenovo's had a history of putting a lot of bloatware on their PCs and then selling out to consumers at a subsidized price. It's very possible, Blue is still a company, but it's very possible that they were just trying to, they were buying white label phones from China, sticking their logo on it and just sort of hoping that whatever they were buying, that it had passed their vetting process and that's all that was good enough for them. I see a lot of this happen in cosmetics world. It's like you'll get a brand that they'll have their stuff made in China and then it's got arsenic or whatever, like they don't have
it's made by 6-year-olds.
Right.
Which even when you visit the factory, it's you can't always get like the full details of what's going on.
And that's what's really kind of hard about this, because Blue has publicly stated that it was incredibly surprised that it discovered this immediately. Amazon removed, because Amazon was selling a large majority of these particular devices, at least here in the U.S., Amazon removed the listings because they have a policy against, selling things that could harm its users. Blue had corrected the problem and Amazon is in the process of relisting it once they can confirm that the problem has been patched, which tells me that Blue at least has some sort of control over it because they were able to get in there and, you know what I mean? Like, it's strange that they would have the ability to remove it and for that to kind of couple with this, like, unknowingness that it existed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
And then also there were, you know, the company that created the backdoor, AdOps Technologies, like, they're quoted in this article. I mean, like, they're
legit.
They're actively involved as well. Yeah. So it seems as if and I believe the AdOps representative in the article said Blue is a company that just made a mistake. Like, they didn't, you know, they did their best to shield them from whatever blame. But, you know, how that got on or how that got through whatever process and then what happened to that data, like, where did it go? You know, like, it's to help Chinese manufacturers track behavior. But what is that, you know, what exactly does that mean? Where did that data end up? Probably we'll never find out, but clearly everybody's being transparent about the removal of it.
And we want to be, you know, allowing for them, this having been just an honest mistake, but when we're concerned about a company not being able to catch this kind of leak, that is ultimately super concerning. So,
yeah. And it's also concerning because we have all these Chinese OEMs that are trying to make a play for the US market, and this is not good PR
That's kind of what I was going to say. There's a lot of confirmation that comes with something like this, whether it was intentional, whether there was like malicious intent there or not. It still confirms certain people's beliefs about the lower end, you know, aspects of Android and how, well, if you're getting it for nothing, then, you know, how can you even trust the device? Because you never know, they might be sending your data to China. And in this case, it actually was the case.
That's even funnier because, you know, especially as I'm spending time with phones like the Mate 9, I've been getting a lot of those jokes like, oh, you're using one of them Chinese phones. And you're like, but it's like Huawei, I would feel, is a reputable enough
considering they worked with Google and made a Nexus device. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, Xiaomi and.
Mm-hmm.
The plethora of other ones.
So what about modular phones, Ron?
So now's the sad part of the show. As everybody knows.
Sorry.
I was, oh, wow. That wasn't actually the sound effect.
There we go.
So for the past couple of years, we've been tracking Project Aura through Google's their exploratory division, which was Google's modular phone. It was the phone that had the display, and then on the back there are all these little like Lego blocks that could snap on. You snap on a bigger battery and another camera, a projector, like all these various things. And Google canceled the project earlier this year. Well, the folks over at Fandroid got their hands on one of the dev kits on the phone itself, as well as some of the modules, and they published the full specs, so we had an idea of what kind of phone we never will get because Google's killed the project. But turns out it's it was running a Qualcomm Snapdragon 810, had 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig internal, had a 5.46-inch display, rear camera was 2.1 megapixel. Front camera was 5 megapixel, which is curious, but I guess that makes sense with the modular standpoint. And the usual kind of suspects that you would expect, you Type-C USB jack, headphone jack, all that fun stuff. But the main thing was that it is a modular phone. And as you look at the photos that we're showing through now, you could see the different modules that pop out. And, you know, you can move the camera, you can snap on, you know, another speaker, that sort of thing. This is like one of those great examples of a project that I thought had a ton of potential that now, you know, we're just lucky this isn't buried in a hole in Arizona with the E.T. video game from 1982. I was actually really surprised to see this get in the hands of Android and be out in the wild. Like, I'm wondering how they got it. But yeah. So what did you guys think of it?
Want to know what shady dealings were involved?
I know.
Securing this phone.
I mean, looking at the device, it seems like it's definitely a compromise over what we saw in the first year or two of kind of like what they were talking about, you know, and they had kind of mentioned that over time they were kind of trimming back on the full body customization down to like this
particular portion. The device actually looks pretty nice, I gotta say.
Looks
like,
cool.
Anytime I ever looked at a Project Ara, whatever, you know, that they were releasing, it really felt like patchwork to me. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's cool that it does it, but it just kind of looks weird and unfinished to me. And this came together pretty nicely. What do you think, Juan?
No, I'm definitely sad to see this go, especially for just the fan of technology that I am, and I build my own workstations, and I wish I could build my own laptops, and to be able to design the perfect phone for me is something that would definitely appeal to me. But then also, I mean, like seeing these photos and how this all would have come together, I kind of feel like Google made the right play with where the consumer space is heading right now.
Right, right.
Where the flagship phone is kind of plateaued. I think a lot of users are sort of fine with a good enough device that covers all of the bases well enough. And I think the consumer choice aspect in giving people too many choices, if they couldn't get the performance up to spec, and then you had all these little modules and people were having to pick and choose and buy and fit and customize, that I think this is the wrong time for it. I still hope that another company maybe takes some of these ideas, though, because for the enterprise space, the ability to customize hardware like this for mobile devices could still be a really compelling business solution. But this is probably past its time for the consumer sphere. If this phone had come out a little earlier, maybe the sentiment would be a little bit different. But now I think you handle a Pixel, you handle a Samsung, you handle an iPhone, and a lot of people are going to feel like, oh, yeah, this does what I need it to do. This does everything well enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, and that's the thing that disappoints me so much about it, is because I think that, you know, you said that you'd love to design your perfect phone, and I think that this is something that could do that. But this also would allow you the flexibility to have the perfect phone for different situations.
Oh, totally.
You know, like if I'm in a scenario where I need extended battery life, I can just snap on every one of those to be batteries and run for 2 days straight, right? Or if I'm, you know, really into photography, I get a really high-end lens and snap it on into the big square, or speakers or whatever, you know. And that modular capability, I think, really, you know, allows you, instead of having a phone that does everything kind of good, allows you to potentially build a phone that does a couple of things really, really well when you need it to. I've had lots of conversations with folks who are like, if this ever made it to release, like, would you carry a bag of modules? Like, how would that work? But
I completely agree. I just don't feel that there's anything in the current sphere of modular phone design that we can't accomplish with a better application of USB-C. Like, if I need battery life for days, I can get like a camera grip, pop it on there, sort of Lumia 1020 style. I mean, we've solved some of these problems already, that I'm not sure in this day and age, until we see some radical change in how smartphone hardware is handled, that do I need a better camera than the one that's on the Pixel or the Mate 9 or a P9 or something like that? I feel like we've kind of peaked as to what we can do with smaller sensors. So if I need more battery, I know a lot of people that are already investing in, you know, portable batteries and chargers, and I've got solar kits, and I've got a number of solutions that work for everything. It doesn't matter what device I'm using or if I'm with friends. You know, like, the battery on my Ara isn't going to charge up my friend's, you know, my friend's phone. If I carry a small little brick with me, I kind of become a more valuable member of the team.
Yeah. And I think by no means was this ever anything but a gimmick. And I don't think that this would have taken the smartphone world by storm and become the de facto phone that everybody uses. I think this definitely would have fallen under the techie hobbyist maker kind of world.
Oh, yeah.
But I like having those options. I mean, like, it's the same people get really excited by Lego Mindshares or whatever the thing is, or Minecraft, or, you know, like all these things that you can build stuff with, you know, like, that's who would want this. And there are some companies still pursuing the idea of modular phone devices. I know there was one company, I forget the name, but they make the case that snaps onto a phone and allows you to snap on modules. And they had Kickstarter successfully, and they're talking about shipping, and they've got a couple of different phones that they support, and are adding support to more phones.
X-Pack.
That's what it was. X-Pack. Yeah.
Well, this is absolutely, though, why I hope this idea doesn't die. That just because Google is walking away from it, I feel that there are still a number of opportunities where specifically customizing hardware off of one sort of unified platform is still absolutely a viable business decision. But I think Google's big push over this year has been, how can we push more consumer? I mean, walking away from some of the more developer-focused devices that they put out there, some of the more enthusiast devices out there. And this is absolutely the wrong time for Google. Doesn't mean that another company can't pick up this idea and run with it and make a ton of cash doing it.
Right.
And I agree with you. I think they Google's got to focus on mass consumer mainstream acceptance. But I think the jury is still out on modular phones, but it's not looking good. I mean, Flo, you're the one who, out of the three of us, who had the Moto Z and got to spend some time with it. And is that a phone that you like the modular capability of that? Or do you think that modularity is just is a gimmick that we don't even need?
I like the modularity of the Moto Z, but my problem with the Moto Z extends beyond, it has nothing to do with its modularity. It's just so
the modularity wasn't
it's an incredibly, it's an incredibly hot phone, and it's not the most,
not in a good way.
Hot. Yeah. Hot. No, it gets way too hot because it's so skinny and you're supposed you know, attack stuff onto it. And I don't like that. So
the Z Force did a little bit better with that. Just it
Z-Force,
was funny, like
yeah,
you,
it's
a
still,
little bit of extra surface area and girth, like helped quite a bit.
But it gets
actually
super heavy when you pack on like the power pack, so I don't really want to. I actually don't want to carry that with me when I go.
Right,
you know, to
but the power pack on the Z Force is like we've got four times the battery.
Precisely, it does last for a really long time though, which is nice.
Oh yeah, but you need the slap on battery with the Force a little bit less. You know, so what problems are we solving with modularity on a phone that already has a really respectable battery?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But then, you know, and then I think about, you know, the Hasselblad lens and what kind of a letdown that was.
Yeah,
it
was
certainly
not
had a cool
a shiny
factor
moment
about it, but it wasn't the best implementation of that sort of technology. So we have a ways to go, but I think actually Moto's doing it the right way.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, and if anything, the Moto Z, it just the projector was the only one that got me excited as far as the modules that came out, especially after seeing your review of that camera, Flow. So pour one out for Project Aura. Maybe someday it'll resurface in another shape or form. Who knows? If not, hopefully it ends up in the computer museum or some sort of, you know, place where we can learn from it. So,
Aura,
sad.
We salute you.
We hardly knew ye. Yeah.
All right, we've got an email. Flo, take it away.
By the way, we're going to have like an entire memoriam at the end of this year of like all the devices we lost this year.
The devices
the Nexus
we've
lost. 9.
It's a great idea.
Academy Award style.
We should totally do it in memoriam.
We should actually
segment.
Do that.
Yeah, we should.
That's
a great idea. Like an Oscar Academy Award style. So we've got a lovely email from one of our viewers, Jared. Jared asks, I would like to hear your thoughts on why reputable tech sites and other media, including AAA, don't show the HTC 10 any love. It's a great device with very few flaws and has been on sale for $550 lately. At those prices, why isn't it mentioned alongside the S7, Pixel, and V20 as a phone that should be considered for someone's next purchase? Well, Jared, I will tell you that after my own experience with the LG V20, I'm not entirely sure that I would suggest that phone to people to buy if they were buying it because of its cameras.
Mm-hmm.
HTC 10,
what about the
I mean.
HTC?
Sorry. Who was
I was
going
to say, great about the LG V20, but what about the HTC 10?
Right. But the thing about the HTC 10 is that it is like, it's a really great phone, but it didn't get a lot of marketing traction this year. And I think that's partly why a lot of mainstream tech publications and tech blogs don't really talk about it, because it's not...
Kind of forget about it.
It's not an eye grabber, and I hate to say it that way because then it makes it sound like, well, you know, why is the media picking and choosing? But the truth of the matter is we only have the biggest news staff and you can only cover so many things. But that said, the HTC 10 is actually... been discontinued at a couple of carriers. And when I was working on the smartphone buying guides for Android Central, we did include it as a phone that you should consider, the best non-Samsung phone to consider. So there's that.
Yeah, I set my sister up on it the past May when it came out. She was on the HTC M8 and she had skipped the 9, and so she needed a new phone. And so I was like, stick with HTC. It's what you know. The 10 is a great phone, and she's loved it so far. It hasn't been any problem. And I was thinking about this question, and I really think that the HTC 10 is kind of like the Ford Taurus of phones. in that
the new Ford Taurus.
No, like the Ford Taurus from like the 80s and 90s. You know, like it was a solid car that soccer moms and average, you know, like it worked. It was a good, but there was nothing sexy about it or exciting about it. It was just a workhorse.
And I feel like that's not fair to HTC, because I think that their phones are super sexy. Like, I think they're the only, I think they're making some very sexy phones. I think there's lots of sexiness.
But nobody's talking about them. But there's no
sexiness is off the charts with HTC.
Well, that's because nobody's talking about HTC. That's the problem.
No.
Except
Vive.
But
it's a chicken and the egg, HTC. Because we've been talking about the Vive. HTC is making its resurgence in other areas.
Precisely.
But I completely agree with one of your very earliest points, Flo, in that, you know, we have limited resources. We just put out our After the Buzz. So we revisit phones after 6 months just to see how they aged. And the HTC 10 got a glowing review in that sphere, too. Just coming back to it, getting to spend some time with it, especially for music fans. I still think the V20 is the better fit. But the HTC 10 is formidable when it comes to audio. But that video has been one of our lowest watched, has been one of our lowest shared, I don't think it ever made it up to Reddit. You know, like we can't do HTC's job for them if we're also not going to be able to make money off of these videos. I mean, if you want the inside baseball, every time we take a hit like that, where we've spent so much time going through the camera, going through the audio, going through reviews, going through comparisons, and they perform that poorly, our audience is telling us that they don't care. So we know that there are fans out there, and we know that there are people who are passionate about HTC. And Ron, to your point, I mean, like if she got to skip the M9 going from the M8 to the 10, that was the perfect way to do that jump.
Yep.
That was a great jump for her. We've moved on. And I think right now for our enthusiast circles, the HTC 10 was a tough talking point against phones like the Axon 7. You know, it started out at a really high price point. Then we got OnePlus 3s, Axon 7s, Honor 8s.
A lot has happened since the HTC 10 was announced.
And I think, actually think that going back to Flo's point, I mean, it's not, the phone you could think it's sexy, but if no one's talking about it, nobody cares, then it's not sexy. It's a chicken and the egg kind of thing, right? And the phone.
Well,
could
I just meant in comparison to the Ford Taurus.
For myself personally, I think it's a sexy phone.
The phone could be completely but if nobody else does, then it's not. I mean, that's kind of like coolness or whatever, you know. But the thing about it is that the phone could be extremely underrated, which I believe it is. And I think actually, you know, Juan, to your point, the competition phones are out at the same time as it came out. But actually, I think because the M9 was such a stinker, I think that hurt the 10
HTC also needed to spend that time rebuilding their brand. And to expect that they were just going to come back to where they were with the one X and the one M7, you know, those sort of heydays of HTC taking their brand, walking away from the shadow of them being an ODM, not having a million different variants on every single carrier, but just putting out one phone. You're absolutely right. The M9 totally put a huge hole in that strategy. But that's also why, I mean, especially in an era post Note 7, why these companies haven't been doubling down on advertising, why these companies haven't been putting boots on the ground. I can go to two different Samsung kiosks and play with everything else that Samsung has to offer. I can go to any number of Apple stores, but trying to get someone to handle a V20 in person outside of a carrier store, trying to get someone to handle an HTC 10, I mean, I can't make up that part of the conversation. As much as I'd like to, for the enthusiasts who are fans of these brands, as I'm fans of these brands, I can't make up that marketing difference on YouTube making my reviews and comparisons.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for us to get to our hardware section, by the way, so we can talk about
HTC
a little bit more, because there's more to add to that.
All right, well, let's put a pin on that.
Let's
pick that up at hardware. But first, let's pause for a message from our sponsors, as we thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. It could be such a struggle to race against the clock to wrap up your projects, and you're trying to tackle endless amounts of paperwork. Welcome to the world of freelance work. I've been there. I think everybody here has been there. It is challenging to be a freelancer, but luckily our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are also worth it. FreshBooks has launched the all-new version of their cloud accounting software, and it's definitely worth checking out if you are a freelancer or a small business owner. It's been redesigned from the ground up and custom built for exactly the way you work. Are you ready for the simplest way to be more productive and organized? FreshBooks has got it. And most importantly, FreshBooks help you get the one thing you need to get paid quickly. right? The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's packed full of powerful features. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. There's no formatting or formulas, just really simple, clean, professional-looking invoices. You can add your own logo and color scheme so that your invoice reflects your personal brand of your freelancing or your company. When you email a client an invoice, FreshBooks can show you whether they've seen it. So you can put an end to that guessing game as to whether or not your invoice is making it to the right person or if they even know it came in. There's nothing worse than waiting for that. It's great to get that kind of confirmation that's been read. You can set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. They also have this super handy deposit feature so you can invoice for a payment upfront when you're kicking off a project. So listen, if this sounds good to you, if you want to simplify your freelance business or your small business, FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our audience. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So go to freshbooks.com/AAA and start your 30-day free trial. Get paid quicker, get better control of your business. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting All About Android.
Thank you, FreshBooks. All right. Yeah. It's time for some hardware. Ron went to an event. What event did you go to, Ron?
I went to an event. So look at this. We got this. I got the little Le Echo. So a couple of weeks ago, Flo, you went to the launch event in San Francisco for Le Echo, right? Company that sounds French. Mm-hmm. Well, they brought their dog and pony show over to New York City. They actually, as opposed to doing like a launch event, they set up kind of like a pop-up shop, downtown. And I was, able to go visit it, check out all their phones, check out their TVs, check out their VR headset. They also got a crazy bike. Like the bicycle. Did you see that, Flo, in their presentation? Like the Android power bicycle that's not out yet.
I
did walk away with a Le Pro 3 to check out. They were very kind enough to give me one to play with, and I've been playing with it for about a week. And I gotta admit, for $399, it's an impressive little piece of phone.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is very, talking about HTC, it is very reminiscent of the HTC design. Mm-hmm. It looks very familiar, but it's got some power really packed into it. It's got a Snapdragon 821. It's got 4 gig of RAM, 64 gig of storage. It's got a 16-megapixel rear camera. It's 5.5 inches. It's got a huge battery, over 4,000 milliamp battery. And I gotta admit, I got this last Wednesday, and I've been testing it and playing with it and running with it. Since then, I have not charged it once, and it's at 20% battery.
Wait a minute, what?
Oh, yeah, doesn't
wow.
it? Yeah.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
It's a giant battery, right?
It's got a giant battery. It's got 20%.
4,070 milliamps.
Yep.
That's impressive, man.
So, very impressive battery life. And
also
the
has
fact
an IR
that
blaster.
It does have an IR blaster. That ties into the TV.
I love that.
I'm going to get into the IR blaster in a second, but the fact that this phone is $399, and I feel like if this as a phone itself running stock Android would be like, talk about like a suggestion for what kind of phone I should buy at the $400 price point. I think the hardware itself is worth it. That said, their competitive advantage of the Le Echo ecosystem or whatnot, is that's the thing that makes me pause a little bit. And Flo, I don't know if you agree or not, but, or Juan, if you had a chance to play with these phones or what you think of them, but there, a whole big portion of the walkthrough that I got was about how we've got the Le Echo store and we've got content and like
the
really
Eco
pushing
Pass.
Aside, yeah, and all this sort of stuff. And they've got a custom UI that's on top of it, and they've got a lot of their own baked in. I don't want to say bloatware, but baked in apps to access these stores. And they have a live app that's got live video and all this sort of stuff. And it's just kind of stuff that's like, the phone is great. You don't need this content layer, I don't think. It was kind of awkward because the guy walking me through the phone said, "It's like, oh yeah, and if you buy the TV, the phone and the TV work together. Like you can control the TV with the phone." I was like, "Oh really?" I'm like, "Is that through Chromecast?" He's like, "No, you have to have the phone in order for it to work." And I was like, "Okay." And then I walked over to the TV, and the TV guy showed me how the phone works with it. And I'm like, "Yeah, how's that working?" And he's like, "Oh, Chromecast." I was like, "Oh, okay, also." But Yeah. So their whole content platform is baffling to me, but as a device, I thought it was really impressive. I don't know. Am I the only one, Flo? Have you had time to play with it, or what do you think?
Meh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Gardner's, if we're going to call any phone like a Ford Taurus, I kind of feel like this Chinese design language is indicative of that, like, cookie cutter, mass produced.
Yeah. Thank you, Juan. Exactly. It's the track home of smartphones.
Yes, exactly.
Which, Juan, maybe living boxes. In the valley, you might know a little. I'm sorry. Yes, I shouldn't be talking about the valley that way, but.
No, I mean, like. What is impressive, especially if you can pick it up on one of these Le Mall sales, is you're getting ridiculous hardware for like $300.
Right.
But that's also, you know, been the big challenge, I think, of this year, too, is I want to get away from some of these Chinese software layers. Like they are creating environments for user bases that don't translate well.
Unnatural interface environments. True. I am coining that.
Totally.
Unnatural interfaces.
I think that's totally accurate. Totally fair. I mean, playing with this phone and going through all the layers of, like, not only do I have to log in with my Google account, but then they want you to set up a Le Echo account and all this sort of stuff. And I don't want any of this. Isn't content.
Yeah, I'm not
that
doing that anymore.
Yeah, it's not content that I can only get here. It's not content. And, like, and even like when I was playing with the TV, their TVs run Android TV, which is cool. And they've got the whole Le Echo ecosystem, and you can install apps from it and stuff like that. But then you scroll down one more row, and then it's just the Google Play Store. So
which
why?
I wanted to just go straight to the Google Play Store.
Right, exactly.
I want to go straight to, like, a Netflix. I appreciate that they are working on this world, like, to take over the world ecosystem with content and the screens that we actually use to consume that content. But I'm in an era right now personally where I'm trying to diversify some of that usage a little bit. I don't like the idea of being under one sort of global entity of, you know, from phone to TV to the bicycle I ride. I understand what they're trying to do, but I also worry that if I get too caught up in this ecosystem, if I start to rely on those services. Weren't there recent news reports that they're burning through cash right now? That the current rate that they're trying to promote these services, broker these licensing and content distribution deals, and undercut pricing for phones this powerful doesn't seem like it's going to be sustainable. So I wonder what part of their strategy falls apart first.
Right. Like, how long can this last, basically? I haven't had time to look at it to see if you can unlock the bootloader or not, or if it's the kind of thing that you can just buy it and then install CyanogenMod or something. Not that I recommend anyone does. I'm sure someone is going to figure that out at some point, but I don't know if I actually recommend anybody to buy it, because it just seems so weird with the content platform. And I agree with you guys. The design is totally anonymous and totally just like it's that Chinese phone that comes, you know, it's an Android phone that looks a lot like a handful of other phones. But it impressed me, at least in terms of the display, in terms of the battery, the hardware specs alone. Yeah. But it just using it was just, like I want stock Android. Like, give me this phone with blank stock Android and it's a must buy.
Yeah, agreed.
Well,
so then
let's talk about phones that have their own little design language. The HTC Bolt, which I have right here in my hands.
The HTC Zain Bolt?
No.
Because he's involved in the marketing on this.
Quite
frankly, he should be involved because he was in the Olympics. And what do you do after the Olympics? You go on your press tour. You get a bunch of money from companies to be in their ads. I mean, good for you.
Although the other day I went to Google the HTC Bolt and I ended up with the HTC Thunderbolt in the results.
Right, because that was such a
and it brought back memories. Boy, did it bring back some memories.
Phone, Jason.
Now, fun
that.
Fact, y'all. This is actually a member of the Thunderbolt family. It's the Bolt, though. It's not the Thunderbolt.
Yeah. Right, because are they worried about, like, brand confusion with Apple there with Thunderbolt?
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they call Samsung phones Galaxies. So anyway. Yeah. All right. This is the phone, the HTC Bolt. It is really very much tuned to HTC's design language. It's very futuristic looking, in my opinion. I forgot to take the sticker off. Forgive me. But I love this matte finish. I love the fact that this reminds me of sort of I want to say a tuned up Huawei Nexus 6P. That's kind of what it feels like. It's a little heavier, though, a little more dense. And one other issue about the HTC Bolt is that it gets very warm when you're using it, especially when it's plugged in to the point that it's very uncomfortable to hold. Also, because of its size, you might find that you're constantly putting your pinky, like, because I tripod my phones when I'm cradling really big phones. I tripod them like this. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes my pinky will cover the microphone right there and my Snapchats will be silent.
Oh, no.
And then I have to redo them again.
It'll be filtered.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, yeah. Can't do that to my Snapchat.
Would not want to.
Let's go down to the specs just very quickly. So it's got 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, 60 megapixel rear-facing camera with optical image stabilization, 8 megapixel front-facing camera, 3200 milliamp battery pack, 5.5-inch Super LCD 3 panel that's Quad HD. However, I will say there's a little bit of light fraying around the edges, which I'm a little bummed about. It's also IP67 rated, but I have not tested any of that. And actually, I just looked. I'm just looking at these notes, and for some reason, I feel like that 67 is not the right number. I want to say it's 57.
I think it's 57.
It's 57.
But it is the first submergible yes. Unibody aluminum
yes,
phone.
Yes, because I am reading off the notes, but I remember from my meeting at HTC, it's 57.
My bad.
Good job, Jason.
You know,
doing the doc, doing all the work for us.
Is that part of the All About Android drinking game where someone says, like, good job on the notes, and then we all take a drink or something like that?
I wish. We don't always get alcohol, broadcast. Which we should, because this is the night show.
Seriously.
Kombucha is technically kind of alcoholic, right?
I did have kombucha today. I got a little buzz. It was great. Oh, I love that brand. Anyway, so a couple things, though. You notice I didn't mention the processor. Okay, so this thing is running 7.0, so it's running. You can turn it on. It's the sensitive material is not going to. It's, yeah. It has gross, disgusting Sprint apps all over it and Sprint, like, branding.
Oh,
and
no.
Oh, my gosh. It's
that way
just,
I can show
yeah.
off.
Here, just okay, you're fine.
I'm in now. I just couldn't get in because of the fingerprint.
I was really excited up until just now.
I'm not hiding anything. Yeah, so you can go through the app drawer. So it's got this, like, you can change that Sprint background, but the annoying thing is that you have to, like, sign into your HTC account and then, like, get themes set up, which is, like, WTF, mate. And also,
oh, wait,
I haven't.
Scroll down, Jason. Is even the calculator app theme Sprint? They're all, like, yellow themed, right? Yeah, look at that.
Oh, by the way, did you notice it has DraftKings? Go
it
back, show
install.
The DraftKings. It comes preloaded with DraftKings, y'all.
That's gross. Well,
thank you. It is gross.
They probably
it's kind of sleazy, but I blame Sprint for all of that. Now, here's the thing where Sprint still kind of cripples HTC. Here's the kicker, y'all. It's running a Snapdragon 810, which is fine. I mean, that's a two-year-old processor at this point, but I'm just sort of, you know... It's older.
But it's not fine. It's not fine.
I mean, and it's because
just listen to your criticism about holding the phone while charging and it gets way too hot. And what last HTC phone did we experience that had some similar complaints?
The M9, which had the Snapdragon 810. Precisely. But also the issue is that because the whole reason it has the 810 is because it's for Sprint to sell people on its new LTE network. Mm. And apparently this chip, from what I understand... this chip is the only one that supports that band for Sprint. And that just seems like a very limited thing for HTC. Now, I'm working on the full review of this right now, so I don't want to spoil everything on All About Android, but I do think that this... I really enjoy this phone. It just reminds me of, you know, a really... like, nice person who has a job, like, killing puppies for a living. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's, I don't know what to say.
Well, that should be the subhead of your review, by the way. It's like a really nice person that kills puppies.
Who kills puppies.
Like, yeah. I don't know what to say. Okay, that wasn't a fair comparison. Okay, it's just Sprint completely marred this phone, and this is yet another example of how carriers ruin everything, and I'm just so darn sick of it all. I'm so sick of it.
Can you uninstall those pre-installed apps? Can you
try
take
it.
Off
try uninstalling
Airbnb?
DraftKings.
Okay, so DraftKings... Hold, uninstall. Yay.
Okay, so at least you can uninstall it.
Right. Sorry, I'm bringing up my Thunderbolt.
Wow.
Oh, is that what you ran
Remember
away to go get?
Remember when people were complaining about how big the Thunderbolt was? Those are good times.
I mean, the Thunderbolt is thick. Don't get me wrong. It's got junk in the trunk. Look at that thing.
Wow, look at that. Wow.
But didn't it need it because the battery would only last like 15 minutes or something if you connected it to...
The glory days of smartphones. Yes,
look at that. Look at HTC Sense. I haven't seen that in so long. Look at that bottom. Oh,
yeah,
man.
I went through the flip clock, too. Those are good times.
I went through my box of old phones and found this in there. And yeah, there you go. I'm surprised it still has a charge. I mean, seriously, this thing still has a charge, dude.
How crazy.
How long has it been since this was booted up? I can't even remember. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, look at that search bar. Wow, look at that.
This is the old Thunderbolt, and this is the new Thunderbolt.
We've come so far.
It kind of has similar wallpapers, too. How did that happen?
Oh, yeah? Kind of similar colors. Wow. Yeah. And then, you know, the best part of the Thunderbolt, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the kickstand. Oh, the kickstand. Yeah.
Listen.
I'm going to watch a movie
now.
You
laugh, but I wish phones came with that built in.
I've been going back to cases just to get my kickstands back.
I know, but it's not you sometimes. Yeah. You don't want a case, right? Anyway, this HTC Bolt retails for $600 at Sprint or $25 a month. I just want to say in closing that I really like this phone I have. It kind of gives me a good glimpse of what we should be expecting from HTC next year. So, because everything about this phone is pretty grand, except for the fact that it gets super hot because the processor inside is slightly...
Nah, I've been super conflicted about this phone. This has been a rough one for me because when we first got the leaks on or the rumors were starting to post about HTC coming out with this hardware, I was really hoping for that HTC-ified Pixel, you know, like which we're getting kind of close to some of those numbers, like the 5.5 inch screen and sort of the general form factor, a chin bezel that actually has stuff down there. So it's not just wasted space. I was really hoping for that. Having started to play with it, I think some of the design decisions are ultimately going to frustrate me out of making this device a top recommendation. I mean, first of all, their strategy for headphone audio is exactly not how I think we should be doing USB-C audio.
I haven't tried it yet, so to be quite honest, because I'm still in the throes of reviewing.
No. The quality is good. The quality is very good. We would totally expect HTC to come in clutch on that. But what I mean is, while we're watching Apple get rid of the headphone jack on one line of phones where your ear pods are no longer going to play nice with your MacBooks, you know, like that's just a thing that you now have to have separate headphones between
Speaking
your laptop
of ecosystems.
And your phone. Exactly. I am a little less angsty about losing the headphone jack in USB-C land because I feel USB-C will be a proper standard. If I want to plug USB-C headphones into a laptop, tablet, smartphone, I'll be able to. Mm-hmm. Except for the USB-C headphones that came with the Bolt, which don't play on any of my other phones with USB-C ports. And it didn't come with a headphone adapter because obviously HTC wants you to use their buds, but none of the other adapters that I've had with USB-C seem to play nice with this phone either. So I'm stuck with their earbuds at the moment. And this is exactly not how we create a standard. You know, this is the opposite of a standard. Mm-hmm. This is a proprietary piece of hardware which is going to be locked to this phone. And when I lose those buds, I'm kind of SOL until I can come up with something else.
You have to buy a new pair from HTC.
And that to me is a big ugly red X on one of my all-time favorite features for phones. Is I want to know that I can use really nice headphones. I want to know that I can use the headphones I've invested my money in.
Yeah.
And that'll leave me with just my Bluetooth cans, which are fine.
Friendly. You're right, though. It's not consumer friendly because most consumers don't want to be tied to one particular company for all of their things, especially those of us Android users who like having choice.
What the manufacturers think, which is it makes your life better to be in our ecosystem.
You're giving us more money.
Yeah, we make so much more possible if you just give us
so
all
much
your
more money.
I'm checking for updates, by the way, because apparently the HTC Thunderbolt was upgraded to ice cream sandwich at some point.
Okay, please. On that one. I would love it if you popped a SIM in that, and then
I have no Verizon.
We
SIM
just
to pop
did
into
like
it.
A. We should do like a 3-year on. Oh, whatever, whenever the heck that came out.
checking checking in on the hype. What's the name of your segment again, Juan?
After the buzz.
You do like a 4-year-old after the buzz. I am totally down. We can make that happen.
There we go. Well, we've got the hardware. Anything's possible.
Oh, you guys.
So we have one more hardware story to cover here. Real quick here, OnePlus had an announcement today unveiling of the OnePlus 3T, which is kind of an incremental upgrade to the OnePlus 3, minor upgrade. New gunmetal color replaces graphite. It's got a Snapdragon 821 processor. Of course, that's the same that you'll find in the Pixel phone. 6 gigs of RAM, so very nice there. 64 and 128 gig storage options.
128 gig storage option, BT dubs, is only, I believe, $40 more.
Oh, that's nice. Do that if you're thinking about it.
Just FYI.
3,400 milliamp hour battery, up from 3,000.
Very nice.
16 megapixel Samsung front facing camera replaces the 8 megapixel front facing camera. So better for your selfies. Display is still 1080p AMOLED. Although because they're sticking with AMOLED, I'm assuming that might mean eventually Daydream compatibility, because that's one of the requirements of the Daydream spec. But they didn't announce that, so that's just speculation. November 22nd in the U.S. and Canada on the OnePlus site for $439 to start. And then November 28th in the EU. Nice improvement. I mean, it's kind of incremental, but those are actually pretty awesome.
The OnePlus X. I wish they would give me another OnePlus X, a nice, cute little...
A tiny little metal phone.
You know, color.
I liked the phone, but I have to agree with their stance where they were wanting to walk away from this like split tier. They were already trying to make as powerful a device as cheaply as they could. And then look at what's happened with some of our update situations with the Qualcomm 801. You know, a phone that's not that old, not really being able to play ball with some of these newer updates, apps, services, and some of this new Android, Google software. So I'm a little disappointed in this being just sort of the year-end refresh. When we're talking about potential Daydream compatibility, I was really hoping they'd take the screen res up a notch. Everything about what we like about the OnePlus 3, this is a nice little touch-up. And I'll be really curious to see how they handle a OnePlus 4 with this refresh having dropped at the end of the year.
Sure, totally. I should say Kyle in chat is correcting me on the Daydream thing. He says that he read it somewhere that Daydream compatibility would not be included. It just doesn't have enough power, which is kind of hard to... I don't know. I'm still very confused as far as what's required with Daydream and why.
Well,
Daydream,
you need the waterproof so hoverboard for Daydream, not just the regular Mattel hoverboard. You need power.
Well, all this mention of Daydream probably is a great moment to transition, huh?
Segway.
I think so. New segment. Yeah. We got a new segment. It's VR.
Wait. Do you have a new role?
Ooh.
It's like we're there.
Wow.
That's pretty. I like that.
That is so cool.
Jeff Kosmicki comes through again.
It's like a dude in a room, an Android dude in a room, and there's like police sirens.
Right. Okay, so I asked him about that when he did it, and I was like, so what's the idea behind the kind of sound design? And he said, well, you know, when you're in VR, you're in your own world, and then you break out of it, and this is the real world.
That's
you're
why
surrounded
I laugh
by police
it.
Sirens.
Yeah. It's funny, because that's
kind of stuff.
The whole point of virtual reality.
What I got to tell you, it's funny that you mentioned Jeff Kosmicki, who is the fantastic creator of that VR bumper, because I met him the other night.
Oh, there he is.
There's me and Jeff Kosmicki. I was at the live show of Super Ego, which is a podcast with Paul F. Tompkins and Matt Gourley and some other great comedian folks at the Bell House in Brooklyn. And the show was all done. And I was actually hanging out with my buddy Pete, Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute Podcast. And Jeff comes up to me. He's like, hey, Ron, all about Android? And I didn't know who I've never seen Jeff Kosmicki. And so I was like, hey, how you doing? Thinking it's just a loyal all about Android audience member. He's like, hey, it's Jeff Kosmicki. And I lost lost it at the show. I completely like made my friend take pictures. I was thanking him. He was great. He's we had a long talk. Apparently he grew up in the DC music scene in the 80s, which I'm a big fan of. So we talked about music. Jeff was super cool dude. Really, he drove up from DC to see Super Ego.
Random and awesome. I love it.
And what are the odds that in Brooklyn I would run into the guy who's created all of our awesome bumpers? So Jeff, hats off to you, and hopefully we can hang out again soon sometime.
No kidding. That is so cool. That is so awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Let's see here. So a couple of quick points around VR. Daydream is happening. Oh, it's happening. I got my code.
I got my code today too.
I got it yesterday.
Yes, I didn't see it till this morning.
And so I should be getting my Daydream view tomorrow, I think is what the tracking.
That quickly?
Well, I did expedited shipping to get it as fast as possible. It?
You fancy guy, you with your fanciness.
I just did regular.
I didn't pay for it.
But it's okay.
so we should be getting that. We had wondered on the show, I think a few weeks back when we had Duncan from Ozdroid on.
Yes.
Whether cardboard compatibility would be possible with Daydream View. And there was actually a lot of uncertainty around that, which I find really surprising since cardboard for the longest time has been low rent, Google, you know, all you need is this little piece of cardboard to do VR. Why wouldn't it be compatible with Daydream? Well, it turns out Ozdroid did check in and apparently has confirmed with Google that they are working on Google VR SDK that's going to work, that's going to bring compatibility along, you know, cardboard compatibility in with Daydream. That includes turning that controller into a control mechanism for the button that you would normally push on your cardboard viewer, which, I mean, makes sense. Just happy to know that it's actually going to happen because that's going to open up kind of the options for people who, you know, have spent $80 on this viewer to have more content. Because it does really sound like Google's being pretty restrictive as far as like the content that's being made specifically for Daydream. At least this gives you
Isn't that great though that they're doing that?
Isn't it better than being like,
who wants to throw some content our way? Come on, let's
Which
go do this.
Kind of how it was with cardboard. So at least you have the option, I suppose.
It was that way with the Gear VR as well, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but really, just sort of the surprising aspect that these two teams weren't working together.
I know.
I really thought the Daydream team was going to be like, you know, the evolved Super Saiyan version of the cardboard team in separate camps, apparently.
That's the joke about Google, or at least the way that my husband explained it to me, is like the way that the hierarchies are at different businesses, companies.
Business units.
Yeah, just the way like things are, like Microsoft is a different organization and Google is a different organization and Apple has its own very special organization. So like every company does it differently. And this is just showing how sometimes
they don't talk.
This is not
news at all. I mean, like we've seen this for years where the left hand doesn't talk to the right hand, you know, and that's common for Microsoft. It happens at Apple. It happens at
my left shoulder and right shoulder are always talking to me all the time. Should I do this? Should I not do this?
Do it. Don't do it. Do it.
Should I cut off that guy? Should I just let him go?
Well, I'm not surprised that teams in Google aren't talking to each other, but this to me almost kind of felt like, well, what if the Surface Pro team just weren't talking to the Surface Book team at Microsoft and like, oh, we're working on a dock and it won't work with your, you know, anything that's normally we would think would be compatible.
Or maybe it's like Apple CEO standing up and saying the headphone jack is they're being courageous by moving past it and then announcing a laptop with a headphone jack. Right?
I guess that's sort of the same thing.
I mean, it's sad when you think about it from a holistic point of view as we're analyzing it, but I'm not surprised. I mean, they're a team working on their stuff and they're rolling out things.
If we're going to do the music example, I would say it would be like having a play button on an iPhone that interacted with iTunes and then not having a play button on iTunes on your Mac. So you can't play your music.
Right.
Is kind of what we're looking at. Like we have a button for Daydream on this remote and no one thought like, oh, hey, you know what else has a button and does VR and uses your phone screen and all of these sensors and gyros and lenses is this other thing that we're working on in-house. And they both sort of do similar things. Do you think the button might work for cardboard? And no one thought like, hey, that's a neat idea. We should do that. That's what I'm surprised
or
by.
Or if they did, it certainly took them a long time to kind of get from one point to the next.
We had to point it out first.
Yeah.
Like people actually getting these daydream views going like, hey, I was already sort of on board this Google VR experiment with Cardboard and now nothing works.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do something about that. And now we're seeing them start to talk about like, oh, yeah, well, we could totally make that happen. You're like, okay, cool.
You know, I'm glad you're on board this idea. We'll get back to the drawing board and let you know when we're done.
Right. Thanks, Google.
But we'll be getting the Daydream View. I mean, we'll have them next week. Maybe next week for the entire show, you and I should just wear our Daydream Views. It's a whole show.
That'll be great.
Oh, that's right. You're not going to be here next week. Never mind.
Anyway.
I'll wear both of them. At the same time.
Okay. I'll have somebody courier you mine. So speaking of Daydream, just BT dubs, the Daydream app is now live in the Google Play Store. Just in time for those of you that have gotten our promo code. Some of us, of course, didn't pay for expedited shipping, so we'll have to wait. Also, all about expedited shipping. It's so fast. Also, YouTube has also released its standalone VR app. So that is available to those of you that want to engage in some virtual cinema.
Yeah. You know, and even if the video content on YouTube isn't necessarily immersive, you know, content or whatever, you can put it up onto a virtual theater screen. You'll feel like you're in the movie theater and you'll watch all of your video content through YouTube.
I'm actually really stoked for that.
Me too. I just want to plop on the couch with a Daydream on my face and be like, everyone leave me the heck alone.
This is my safe place.
And just watch like Mean Girls for the 50th time and like just be...
Like, years ago, did you guys ever play with that Sony headset? It was like the Sony Cinema headset. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a ridiculously expensive visor with headphones that you would wear.
Yes, it was at the Sony store and you could try it on. And
so, no great like VR or anything like that, but I loved that feeling of like I'm in this movie theater all by myself and I love this movie. And to be able to do that with a phone only a couple years later is kind of amazingly rad.
It's so the same getting under the covers with the laptop in college and being like, oh, I want everybody to leave me alone.
My safe place. Leave me alone.
You see, we didn't have safe places when I went to college because we had laptops and covers and we would just make our own safe fort. This is safe fort kickass.
There you go.
So this is great.
All right. Before we get into other apps, because that was kind of a mini apps. That was an apps preview. Let's take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's all about securing a mortgage, and you know, finding that information in order to do that is not the easiest thing in the world. I've been through the process. It's not super enjoyable to have to go finding all the little bitty details that are needed in order to do this very important thing, right? Secure the mortgage, get a home. The other side is, you know, the end of that journey is so sweet, but getting there isn't always that easy. Well, Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century, makes it at least a little bit easier for you. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage actually has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation, removed it entirely. So if you hate searching through stacks of old files, old paperwork, finding all that information wherever it happens to be. I know in my case, it's everywhere. It's not the easiest thing to dig up. Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements, your pay stubs, all of that at a touch of a button. That's going to help you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. And even better with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this with something you already have. You have your phone, your tablet, wherever you happen to be. You can do all of it with your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. Like, you could probably even do it from the convenience of a movie theater if you really wanted to. But so if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today. Just go to quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, we have some apps to talk about. Let's do it. Are you a Play Music subscriber, Flo?
No, I've
You do Spotify?
I do Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm still locked out of my Play Music account because
me too.
Because I have too many darn devices.
Give them a call, but it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, but those of you that do use Play Music, some good news today. Google rolled out an update. The update now includes new machine learning, which helps determine what music you might want in different locations during the weather. Let's say it's raining. Maybe you want to do a little, you know, Sarah McLachlan. Was trying to remember how to pronounce her name.
Sarah, yeah, that's it.
There's also, it also will learn based on your habits, like what kind of music you like to listen to. And the new Google Play Music app offers passive offline caching of music that you have listened to so that things can load a little bit faster when you're on the go, which I thought it was
already doing that.
So did I.
Yeah, because I found that songs that I listened to a lot when I went into airplane mode, were still available like months ago. So I'm surprised that this is part of the update. But hey, whatever. But I will say that as a Google Play Music subscriber and user, you know, this is a great update. I like seeing what it is. But I will pay more money to have them get rid of the entering beast mode song radio suggestion, because they have having fun, having a cocktail party, and then there's beast mode, which is just always makes me cringe. But I like the idea. I have noticed the machine learning kick in about the weather. And based on habits, like being here, you know, in New York, it's cold and rainy, and it actually, I should go to it right now to see what it's suggesting, but it was suggesting contextually aware stuff. I also did notice that as I'm using Google Play Music more and more with the Google Home, there's some smarts in there that are I've been saying just play an artist, and it's playing the songs I want to hear versus random deep cuts. Like I'm taking note of which songs that it's actually serving up. And I don't know if that's part of the machine learning or based on my listening habits or whatnot, but it's playing the right stuff, which is one of my big complaints about Google Play Music, the radio stations in the past. So I think these updates are welcome. These are awesome.
Yeah. I'm just not a radio person. I don't know.
So here we go. On my Google Play Music, it says Tuesday night. I've got From Your Recents. These are things you listen to often. I got recommended new releases. I've got Stargazing because it's nighttime. And I've also got Unwinding, where it says it looks like you're home. Here's a deep cut kickback with the Velvet Underground, Arcade Fire, Galaxy 500, and more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that's the kind of stuff I'm getting most excited about, is sort of tailoring the location and the time to the experience where, you know, I'm taking my favorite bands, but then it's 11 o'clock at night. So instead of just like, you know, whatever random songs I might like from that band, maybe they are trying to dig into the tone, to the tempo, to the to the amplitude of those files, and trying to serve me up something that's a little bit more context aware. And this is absolutely where I'm getting stoked for some of these artificially intelligent plugins to these services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I scroll further down the page, there's a recommended playlist for bedtime, as well as one called Feeling Moody. Where the first playlist suggested is Another Lonely Night in New York, which is like, wow, that's very specific. No. So I'm not lonely though.
We're watching you right now and you're alone in New York.
I know. It's
enjoy
very weird.
This song.
Yeah, it's very odd. But I'll take it. I dig it. And I also like on at least the app is great. And we're talking more about the app, but on the web interface, they really minimize the recent activity. Like when you loaded up Google Play Music on the web app before, it just like screamed at you, this is what you've been listening to recently. And now it's like, oh, this is what you recently listened to, which I'd rather minimize that and maximize like discovery and other stuff. So good updates.
Yeah. Who wants to live in the past?
Yeah.
I don't know. I look at this and I fear it because my kids use Google Play Music, and I worry that the things that they're used to, you know, they're 3 and 6, but they know how to maneuver the current UI. And I know they're going to look at this and be like, I can't find it, you know, whatever it is they're looking for, because this just, it's just so different. But that's fear of change. That's not your problem, Google. That's mine. I'll
for
get
fans
over it.
Of Meghan Trainor.
What's that?
For fans of Meghan Trainor. Yeah, well,
there we go. My music list is now polluted.
For Jason's daughters.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, kids. But this is really cool. So Google has a new app called PhotoScan. We can show it off here real quick here. I'll go ahead and launch it. So PhotoScan is all about taking, you know what these are, right? These old little printed photographs. They're not digital. They're not like
Is that like a new screen? That it's like a bendable display.
It's a really thin, flexible display.
Whoa!
Let's see. Let's do a picture of me holding a G.I. Joe toy in Christmas.
No, which one is that? Is that the Rattler?
That is the that's the Rattler.
Nice.
I wanted that.
I'm so amazed you knew that, Ron. Yes. That was
I got some deep G.I. Joe knowledge, Jason.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take the initial picture. I'm trying to do this also.
Should you not do it with flash on, though? Because look how...
This is the app.
Oh.
So now I go to these 4 points. And when I do that, reflections and all that stuff change on the image, right? And so it takes the initial image that I took and then the 4 corners, which is shifted perspective. So those reflections, those light points, all that stuff shifts around and it opts and it smashes it all together to opt for an image that only takes the dark points of all those places. And you end up, I mean, it's a little overexposed, to be honest. So if I kept the,
yeah, that's why I was worried about the flash. Because
if I kept flash off, it probably wouldn't be as overexposed.
Yeah, but you no longer have a face.
Yeah. Well, and it's worse on the stream, I might add. It's actually, I think my display is just a little too bright.
That's not so bad.
But anyways,
that's pretty cool. This reminds me of like a Microsoft Garage app.
Let's see here. Let me see if I turn off the flash and do it again. But you see, like you see that reflection that you see right there? See how it's like the reflection comes in when I move? It ultimately taking it in all those other spots is going to kind of pop that out of the view.
I see.
Hopefully.
Why can't you just hold it over it though?
Well, if I did that, I'd be getting reflections from different points.
Or literally reflection of the phone in your photo. I've had that happen too on really glossy photo papers. But what I liked about this perspective shifting, though, is this seems like a smarter and a more accurate way. Because there have been a couple others. Like I think on Huawei phones, you have like a document mode where it doesn't matter what angle you hold the phone at. It's going to try and fix the slide or the presentation or something like that. So actually giving the phone more info, though, this is a pretty savvy way to do it.
I forget the name of the app, but the Microsoft app where you could take pictures of whiteboards and things like that, where you take a picture of it like on an angle and it like normalizes it and lines it up and that sort of thing, but applied to photos. That's really cool. So, and if it's baked into Google Photos, that's even better. So
that's what it does. It uploads full res to Google Photos. And now I'll have that in my, it takes a little bit of time. So it's good for one off, but if you're going to do this to your hundreds or thousands of old photos from when you were a kid, like that would take a really long time, but it's a nice way to do it. So there you go. Flo, you wrote an article.
I did. And then Ron and I were just having a discussion about it.
I don't know what's happening. I got very confused. You can't make last minute changes in the middle of the show, Flo.
I didn't make this chat go down.
I wish I could share it with all of you guys, especially you guys in the IRC. It's been totes hilarious.
It took 292 episodes for the wheels to fall off the bus.
Okay, there's 2 pieces of news. We'll just do them really, really, really quick so we both get a chance. Okay? Google Translate also got an update today. Boom.
Is it good?
Yes. It makes it more contextual. It reads the whole sentence instead of just word for word.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And so it makes more sense.
Yes. Well, no, it just is more contextual. It's just,
No, it doesn't make any more sense.
Ultimately,
it does make more sense? It does make more sense. It makes more sense. But I mean, sometimes other things will make sense. It's just not like said in the most grammatically correct way when it's translated. Yeah. The little screenshot that's on this article is like best example of it.
So the
which is like
the old would be no problem can be solved from the same consciousness that they have arisen. The new translation would be saying problems can never be solved with the same way of thinking that caused them.
See?
So it's a so it's better.
It's better.
Not perfect. Nothing's perfect. We should not expect perfection out of technology. Yes. That is true.
Okay, Ron's turn.
All right, Ron's turn. I deleted your story, Ron. I apologize.
It's okay. I mean, I just thought it was interesting that WhatsApp added video chat now. So it's kind of like Google Duo or Skype functionality, but in an app that literally billions of people use.
Yeah.
So good on WhatsApp.
It was a highly recommended,
good job,
highly
Flo.
Requested.
Love Ron.
Yeah.
Highly requested feature.
Yeah, no, I mean,
more than a billion people.
one of those things. I mean, I honestly, when Facebook acquired WhatsApp, there was a lot of worrying and all this sort of stuff. It verifies by your phone number and all the data. But I mean, I'm a loyal WhatsApp user. It's a key method of communication.
Why did I not realize that?
Yeah, for me and my family and friends and things like that. The group chat is easy. It just works. It's just one of those apps that just works. And I'm excited to play with the video chatting, although I won't do it on the street while walking down the avenue like the weirdo FaceTime users, because that's weird. So use it in the privacy of your own home.
Or on public transit.
Yes, it's the worst.
Oh, that's the worst. You get stuck on a...
Yo, what's up? How was your day? My boss was such a jerk to me today. Ugh.
I totally had an incident. I was on the Long Island Railroad going home to see my family, and I'm sitting in the window seat, and it's like 9 a.m., and a guy gets in, and he's FaceTiming with somebody, and he's holding the camera to, like, go out the window, but I look at the phone, and I see me in the thing, and I turn around, I'm like, can you not do that? And the guy got all huffy and got up and moved. I was like, good. Yeah, you should move. Like, you know, but like there's going to be a reckoning. And I advise everyone to use video chatting sparingly.
So or if you see somebody video chatting, feel free to insert yourself into that video chat, which I have done on occasion while walking down the street in downtown San Francisco. Hi, somebody's mom.
That's weird.
So it's like video bombing, but not photo bombing?
Precisely. I mean, if you're doing it in a public space, I want to be included too.
Yeah.
Right.
It's also end-to-end encrypted, by the way.
Well, that's
just saying. WhatsApp video calls.
Another reason you shouldn't do it on the train.
So with like Allos and Duos and stuff like that, do you think WhatsApp now might actually have? Because I mean, we were talking on our show too about just some of the issues for like texting and what the next generation of texting is going to look like. And it seems like while we all argue about these standards, Facebook and WhatsApp are going, hey, we got all this stuff. It works great. And it works on any device you might want to use it on. Do we feel like this is going to become like one of those backbone services for people?
Yeah, and I think the biggest complaint about Allo launching is that it's got such a big mountain to climb over the WhatsApp users and the Facebook Messenger users and we've ranted about the message. I mean, like messaging platforms and protocols are becoming a hot button for me because I just can't believe this is the mess we're in. And as great as Allo is, I think in some of the functionality can do, I don't think it's as complete as it can be. And it's great that it's, you know, available across platform, but I don't think it's enough to get people to switch it. As of now, no one has Flow is literally the only person who writes me.
I was going to say, did you get my Allo message today?
Yes, I know. And I responded. But you're literally like, I could rename the folder that Allo sits in and just call it Flow. Right? I mean, like, because
I'm the only one who uses it. I use it exclusively to talk to my husband because I love the stickers.
Stickers aren't enough, though.
I know they're not, but it's my job. I have to use things even when no one else is using it.
All right. We are going to dive right in.
We're going to get to the end of the diving board
and go ba-chung, ba-chung, ba-push, and dive into the arena.
Never been able to do that.
So many enter. But Android Arena.
I always belly flop, by the way.
Oh, really?
I was always a belly flopper, and I gave up learning how to dive. I was a kid.
I'm afraid. I'm not a diver.
Because you're tall?
It freaks me out. I don't know. I just, it, like...
Because in 9 feet, you'd be okay. Well,
going head first into water just freaks me out.
I want to go butt in first because, you know, there's more padding down there.
Yeah, it's true. That works for me, but head first, no thank you. Hey, we had a poll last week. It was bit.ly/AAAvote291, and man... We added up the tallies. We got the electoral college results. We also got the popular vote tally.
I don't know
if we should be making those jokes.
Yeah, don't make those
jokes. Please, it's a poll. 38% I am bread wins. Yes, I am bread. You guys are toast.
How long have you been sitting on that joke, Jason?
No, I actually didn't come up with it. Captain Jay in the comments on the poll has the second comment there. I saw it. I ran with it. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. Well, it's important to note that with that win, Jason, you move up to 12 wins. The guests are currently still in the lead with 14. Jason's in second with 12. Flo, you've got 10. I've got 9. But as Wade County mentioned in the chat room, there's 6 weeks to go. And actually, this is a crucial week for me because I will be eliminated if I don't win. Or there's a couple of other like that the guest win and things like that can happen. But we're getting close to magic numbers here where, let's see, we're going to one by one, we're going to be eliminated. If I don't win this week and Flo doesn't win next week, then we're both out. And it comes down to Jason and the guests.
Well,
for the
I'm
rest
not
of the
winning
year,
next
so.
Week, so. Because or the week after. Here.
Oh, no. I think you might be out.
Flo's out. Flo's eliminated.
Because you're out
can
for
I
the next set, 2 weeks,
can I
right?
send in my app arena?
Nope.
Doesn't work like that. Nope.
Yep, we got to be here.
That doesn't work like that. Right. Next year. There's always next
right.
year, Flo.
So next year, I guess.
So then Naro was second place with 36%. Talk Type Voice Keyboard was third place at 15%. Newton was fourth place at 11%. So who came in last of the returning?
I do. It's me.
Okay, so you're first. All right.
I'm first, yes.
All right, so you go for it.
So, yes. So one of the most iconic aspects of the Pixel when it came out was the revision to the search bar with the little Google logo up top. And the Pixel UI is only available to users with Pixel phones. But if you want that search bar, now you can have it. Custom search bar widget, also known as CSBW, is a fully
CSBW.
CSV, oh no, I'm not saying that ever. It's a fully customizable search bar widget that, in addition to several other themes like you're showing there with the Rad Pack and some other cool stuff there, they have a Google Pixel theme which allows you to recreate and utilize the iconic Google Pixel little G box, little G button there. So what this is actually a really powerful search bar widget. You're able to not only customize the way it looks through all these different kind of designs that Jason's showing there, but you can also specify and you can change the colors and you can change the you can make your own theme if you want, but you can actually specify which search engine that search bar actually searches. So, you know, let's say for some reason you don't want it to be Google, you want it to search through, you know, Amazon or your Gmail or Google Play Music if you're always searching for music. Or let's say you don't want to use Google at all and you want to use DuckDuckGo. It has support for DuckDuckGo, which is a great search engine. So it gives you full control over not only the looks but also the actual searches that are happening. And actually, Jason, you get the Pixel Launcher search bar if you do the in-app purchase for the pro version. That's why you're not seeing it.
Yeah, which I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see here. Actually have seen this app.
Yeah, there it is.
I keep doing that. So I've got it all up there. Yep. Let's go ahead and apply. And then I can go down here.
And you place
and
it.
And I probably want to – here, I'm going to create a new page over here. There we go. Okay, I'll go ahead and place it. Widget. Custa CW.
CSPW. There it is.
There it is. It's as if I've never used Android before.
And there it is. So now you can resize it the same way. Yep, there you go. And boom, now that's your own personal Google Pixel search widget. There it is. And you can change any – you can make it look at any color, any – you know, it's totally customizable, which is very, very cool. So, you know, and look at all the search engines that you can add. You can add Wikipedia. You can add Bing if you feel so adventurous. But yeah, it's really, really, really powerful and gives you a little more control over that search bar widget. I found myself hating the search bar widget when they first added it, but now it's the kind of thing that I do utilize a lot, and being able to give options of different search engines to search off of, I think, is a smart idea. And then also some of these themes are just really, really cool. So if you want to make your phone look unlike anybody else's, this is the way to do it. So it's cool search bar widget, CSBW, free in the Google Play Store. It's got an in-app purchase. How much was that in-app purchase? I forget. It wasn't expensive. It was like $1.99 or something like that. Yeah, so totally, totally affordable, and you help support an independent developer while you're at it.
$1.99.
Yeah, $1.99. That's nothing. So go for it. Less than a cup of coffee. So so customize your search bar widget with CSBW. Works on not just Pixels, any phones that are running Android 4.03 and up. So that's a lot of phones. So there you go.
All righty, CSBW.
All righty then.
At one time in my life, he was a hero of mine. Flo.
Really? Yeah. Jim Carrey?
More Ace Ventura.
Man, actually. I was great. I was... My cousin let me watch that when I was young. I really appreciated that about him. I, you know, it's been, you know, I've been thinking about how to start off my app like all day, but I'm just going to say it. My app is about the government. It's about politics, and it's called Countable. And the whole point of the app is to hold Congress accountable for the decisions it's making. Now, the way it works is you plug in your address, which I know might seem scary because you have to sign up for an account with the service. It does allow you to sign in with Facebook, though, if you want to do it that way. It doesn't post anything on your behalf, so you don't have to worry about that. But basically what it lets you do is you could choose your issues that you care about. You know, I obviously care about the state of California. And select those things, and it'll give you an aggregate of the issues and the trending bills that are in those categories that you're interested in. When you find something that you feel particularly passionate about, let's pretend it's the economy right now. I'm trying to find something like not incredibly partisan. So let's see. What can I find? Oh, land management. There we go.
You did it.
That one's safe. Okay. It's loading. So what it will do is we'll give you a full rundown of the bill, kind of the way that you would when you're voting, when you're reading through those giant pamphlets that they send to your house. So this is $32 billion for federal land management in the EPA. Yay or nay. Select your yay or nay. It corresponds to your account. You get to read to see what other people are reading. Here's what Linda and Ethan have said about this bill and, you know, why they believe that they should be in favor for it. And here are people who are against it and why they're against it. And then below, it gives you the overview of the progress of the bill, a tab for everyone's opinions, which just basically expands those comments from above, and any extra details, you know, if it's been enacted, if it's been passed, when it was passed, and if your representative voted on it. So it will give you your representative's name. I did not vote for this man to be my representative, but he is. But anyway, so that's the kind of nice thing about this app is I already have an opinion about it because it's right there. It shows me everything that's going on in state houses.
Cool.
Yeah. And I want to thank, I got about 5 tweets about this app actually last week. So I really appreciate everyone who passed along this link. It was perfectly timed. App suggestion.
Excellent.
Well, I could say it was maybe too late, but.
Wah, wah.
It's an Android app, which is why I brought you to the arena.
No, but I am stoked to see that, though, because I am that cranky guy who every time I'm sitting down to like angrily tell someone they're wrong on Facebook, lately I've been trying to take those rants and ship them over to like elected officials instead of just like screaming into the void of social media. Just like my congressman's not really on Facebook. He's not really going to see this, but I do have a phone number to his office. So if I want to be heard, then that's where I'm going now. So any way to streamline that process, get more info on what's going on around you, that is actually pretty cool.
For sure.
Well, thank you, Juan. Juan likes my app. Saying. What about you guys? I never like anything I bring to the arena.
I've been getting cranky and political. I mean, not just with what's going on in this election, just with all of the issues facing, especially technology. Because I think a number of people would agree that neither political side has done a good job of handling technology issues over the last couple of days. And I kind of feel like it's up to us on this show and then the people who would watch this show to get more involved in the discussion, because we're the ones who actually know about this stuff. We're the ones that they should be turning to answer some of these questions.
We are the people to come to if you want to know anything about Android.
That's what we do. That's why it's called All About Android. That is Countable.
It's Countable. Free. It's in the Google Play Store. And they just pushed out an update because some peeps were.
They improved it.
Oh, no, they didn't put out an update. Just kidding.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Check it out. Countable in the Play Store. All right. So let's see here. Juan, I have your app installed. Go ahead and talk about it, and I'll show it off for you.
boom, I'm going to hopefully kind of keep the guests alive, because I know, like, the hot thing in the way that people handle their media are a lot of these auto awesome style editing, quick clip, you know, you let a computer take over and cut up your photos and videos. But one of the things that the Android ecosystem was lacking for a really long time was a good, solid video editor. And not just something that can trim an individual video, but something that you have a proper timeline where you can import clips, you can import music, you have the ability to add titles and graphics and transitions between your clips. And PowerDirector has been one of this has been a huge app for me personally, because I do work a lot with media on the go. So it's rare that I ever completely from start to finish use a mobile device to finish my work, to do a video review or to do a video or something like that. But this has come in handy so many different times when I need to cut something up really quickly, or I need to produce something while I'm out and about. And I'm legitimately able to do a significant amount of work directly from a phone. Now, it gets even a little bit better if you use PowerDirector desktop software. CyberLink's desktop video editing, because then you can start the process of editing and then import that to your main video editor. But my main video editors are Vegas and Premiere, so unfortunately I don't have those kinds of options for when I'm starting to cut something up from a phone to move it over to another device. But this has legitimately become one of, I think, the best video editors on any mobile. So I think this is even better than what you might find in iMovie, for example. And in the kind of controls, the kind of options that you have for importing clips and cutting stuff up. And these developers have been surprisingly active, because I know a lot of, like, you know, like Adobe apps, we see a lot of traction on iOS versions of Adobe apps, but sometimes the Android stuff can feel a little stagnant. Whereas CyberLink, they are regularly updating. They're constantly adding new graphics, new packs. I think they just recently added a second audio channel. So you can even have, like, you can record a separate voiceover and add music and mix those against the individual pieces of audio in the clips of video that you've shot. And it's just become a really formidable platform for content creation while you're out on the go. So I've been a big fan of this service. I've been a big fan of this app. And this has definitely been a lifesaver for me in those critical moments where I need it. And then also just for those fun times, like, you know, I can cut up some photos of my daughter and some little video clips, slap some music on it, put in some fun transitions and get exactly what I want. Because the way I tend to shoot, I tend to sort of, like, you know, spray photos and videos when I'm going out and doing family events and stuff. So an auto awesome style delivery typically doesn't really do what I want. But here I can actually pick exactly what I want to do, chop it all up and export it. And on a reasonably powerful phone, anything made in the last 2 years, the rendering and the exporting is surprisingly quick. And I think they just recently added bitrate controls too. So you can even make higher quality videos out of your stuff, and it just cost you a little time in rendering. But this has been a really big one for me. So I was glad that it wasn't on your list of apps that people have brought to the table already.
It's not easy to find apps that haven't already been brought to the table.
I was going through that list and I was really like, oh, well, I'm playing this dopey game. Maybe I can bring that one. Oh, wait, they haven't done this one. So
yeah,
I was happy about this.
Good. Awesome.
It's getting harder and harder to find these apps, man. Let me tell you.
It really is.
I believe it.
Yes. PowerDirector is the name of the
app. Oh, my gosh.
App.
It's from CyberLink. That's what I thought.
CyberLink PowerDirector. Oh, very cool. Great way to, I mean, as you could see while you were talking, I mean, you just tap the plus and drops it down on the timeline and gives you kind of those basic edit controls. And
just once you start digging into a few of those little, like, adjustments, like, you can just slap stuff into the timeline, but then you can trim the individual clips, you can add transitions. And that kind of stuff I thought was really, really cool that they made it easy to do on a mobile screen, on a phone screen. So I think the free version will slap a watermark on there, which that's kind of a bummer. Sure. But I want to say it's like $6. So, you know, use your Google Rewards cash and unlock it and support the developers, and you'll end up with a pretty robust mobile video editing solution.
Nice. It's called PowerDirector. All right. My app is, it's kind of, Ron, a little while back, you brought an app. I think it was called Dactyl. That allows you to use your fingerprint reader to take pictures. And now we're starting to see some more apps kind of come out that allow you to do different things with the fingerprint reader, especially in light of the fact that on the Google Pixel phone, you can do a swipe down on the fingerprint sensor, and that will pull your notification shade down, and then you swipe up, and that'll hide it. So it's starting to kind of integrate, you know, use the fingerprint reader for more than just security. Now you can do things with it. Well, this is an app called Fingerprint Gestures that allows you to kind of get in there and do some customization on how...
I know where you got this app.
You can control things. You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The Google Play Store?
Don't think I don't read the RSS feeds.
Of what? We'll talk.
Okay.
Sorry. I honestly can't even remember where I got this. I wish listed.
I'm just joking with you. Sorry. Go on.
Let's see here. No, it's all good. Single tap. So single tap, double tap. You can do a fast tap, which is like a swipe, and that's if you don't have the Pixel phone and you want to say, you know, set your fingerprint reader up to do the same thing that the Pixel phone does on bringing down the notification shade. You could do it in there, but let's do double tap because that's the easiest one to kind of show. And I can go down here and I can do any number of things to assign to the double tap. In this case, let's go ahead and toggle. Well, we'll open the notifications panel. And then we'll go. That's enabled, and then I just double tapped, and there you go. Double tap, and it reveals itself. Double tap. And it reveals itself. You can go in there and assign, like I said, a single tap, a swipe, and a double tap. And you can do all sorts of things with it. Revealing the power button menu if you want that to appear. Scrolling, you can use that only with rooted devices to scroll through like pages and stuff like that. Use that fingerprint scanner to scroll up, scroll down, that sort of stuff. And you could assign it to an app if you like. Turn on the flashlight. Really, it's whatever you want to do with the fingerprint gestures. You can do that. So the app is called Fingerprint Gestures. It is free. I was looking for a way to pay to remove the ads, and I could not find it. So if it's in there, they made it hard to find.
Where did the ads show up on something?
Oh,
like
no,
that?
Never mind. Maybe. Oh, it's in the about page. I didn't check there. What's that?
Where did the ads show up on something like that? Is it just in the control area of the app? It's not like something weird pops up in your notification shade?
No, I've had nothing like that. It's just in the app settings right here. Like basically when you're running the app, setting it up, you've got that little ad down at the bottom there.
Oh, gotcha.
That's pretty much all I've seen. But now I'm realizing if I go into about, I can donate. I don't know if that actually removes the ad though, which is kind of a bummer. I would happily pay. To remove the ad. So there you go. Anyways, Fingerprint Gestures, check it out. And put that fingerprint reader to use other than, you know, protecting everything on your phone. That thing, whatever. Let's see here. So we've got four apps: Custom Search Bar Widget, Countable, Power Director, and Fingerprint Gestures. Place your vote bit.ly/AAAVote292. bit.ly/AAAVote292. 292. Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week.
What are you voting for, Josh?
What is Josh going to vote for?
To the pressure, Josh. Don't succumb to the pressure.
I mean, you know,
I live the closest
you
to
vote
you,
for
by the way.
Most powerful app. I'm just saying. Power.
I mean, it has power in the name. So, yes. He votes for Countable.
It's because I threatened him.
Yeah. I got no background.
You were the first to ask him. Dang it. I wish I had asked him.
Because I live the closest to him.
She does. It's true.
Which is true.
Awesome. All right. Good. I think that's a very good vote. Juan, it's been awesome having you on the show. Thanks so much for being our guest today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I've been, this is super great. I hope to join you guys again in the future.
We will gladly invite you back. We'd love to have you back sometime. Tell people, what you know, parting words of wisdom. Where do you want people to kind of follow your work? Anything you might be working on right now?
Absolutely. So most of the content I'm producing is going up on the Pocket Now YouTube channel, then also pocketnow.com. I have to plug, we just finally redesigned our site after like, I don't know, 10 years of the same sort of web interface. So definitely check out the new pocketnow.com. And then you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram as at some gadget guy. Just recently, we were finally wrapping up our Mate 9 coverage, a phone that I've been very excited to go hands on with. The camera stuff is going to be out shortly. We've got some comparisons coming up. And then I'll be spending some time with the Bolt also, just to kind of see what's going on with HTC and Sprint there. Although I'm already very conflicted about that device. And then our normal slate of super in-depth camera and audio reviews, the real camera and real audio reviews, you will find no one who goes deeper into camera performance and audio performance than what we're currently tackling over on Pocket Now is the shameless plug that I'll throw out there for our own coverage and content.
No one.
I mean, like, we're doing 15-minute videos on camera performance in a variety of shooting scenarios as consistently as we can. Yeah. So you can also go back and, like, compare. So if you really want to see how a Pixel compares to, like, a Note 4, we've got video footage from similar locations at similar times over that span of years. That since they brought me on the team, because I'm awesome. So we're really trying to dig in deep. So, I mean, like, our Pixel coverage was super controversial because we couldn't go lockstep on this declaration that it was the bestest cameras evers. But, you know, we wanted to point out what the camera was very good at and then also some things that people should be concerned about with that camera. And same thing with the audio performance on some of our favorite phones, where people love to talk up like digital audio and this sounds really good. And we can measure some of these things. We can actually experience some of these things. And, you know, those marketing claims don't always turn out to be as true as we wish they would be.
Nice. Well, keep up the great work. And, yeah, we'll be in touch. We'll have you back soon. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate
it. Dig it.
Flo, what about you? Well, so you're out next week.
Yes.
What on earth are you going to be doing for the next couple of weeks?
Just existing.
Excellent. That sounds actually
just
delightful.
Just existing.
That sounds nice.
It is.
I would love to just exist. If that was all I had to worry about for the next couple of weeks, that'd be awesome.
Well, when I come back, it's your turn to go exist.
Okay.
All right? Okay.
All right. What do you want people to know?
So until I'm going to go off to exist somewhere else, you can find me on AndroidCentral.com where I am on staff.
And AndroidCentraling.
And I Android, yeah, I was like, what is the verb to use there? Where I write. So you can find my writings. I'm currently working on the Bolt review. So that should go up this week. Just had an Axon 7 mini review go up, which I actually thought was pretty good.
Pretty okay?
Pretty good. No, it was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty darn good deal. And I'm hearing that it's on super sale on Black Friday. It's like $200 on Black Friday.
Okay, good to know.
From what I'm hearing on the Twitters. Which, if you want to come, follow me on Twitter, at OThatFlow, Snapchat, at OThatFlow. And probably for the rest of the week, you'll just find me on Snapchat fighting with Google Home in my living room.
Sounds delightful. Thank
it's
you.
Not delightful. I'm trying to figure out why did I purchase this device, but I suppose you'll give me a reason soon.
It is possibly one of the best devices I've bought in a long time. It is. I love it. I love it.
I'm trying to figure out how to troll other people with it. Like,
well, that's maybe you have the wrong intentions then.
Look,
my intentions are not pure.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's been really great at playing music and entertaining us with its responses and answering questions and searching for things and telling the weather.
It's pretty awesome at the whole playing a podcast, which is great because when you're about to get started washing the dishes and you need some distraction from the doldrums of life, then you just tell Google, "Okay, Google, please."
All right.
Shut up.
Well, careful.
It just popped up.
Well, like I said earlier, the podcast stuff is cool, but and for me, I use Pocket Casts instead of Google Play Music for my podcast, and I can just connect it to my phone, Chromecast it to the Google Home, and play the podcast. But the music stuff has been great. I don't know, I love it. It's for $120. It's a steal. So I couldn't recommend it more. But yeah,
but you will.
What are you up to, Ron?
I just sit at home all day and talk to Google Home. It's amazing. No. So you can go to twitter.com/RonXO where you can follow me. And there you can find links to about.me/RonXO where you can find my Instagram and all that fun stuff. But very exciting news. I've been teasing it. Mark your calendars. November 23rd, a new podcast is launching.
Woo-hoo.
So a week from tomorrow. Next week, I'll tell you guys what it is. But nice. Tonight, I'll drop a little news. I'll tell you who my co-host is. How about that? It's me and Mr. Tom Merritt.
No, who's that guy?
Nice. So there you go. So if you like Tom Merritt, if you like me, we're joining forces for a very special cause. So you'll Excellent. Find out next week. So stay tuned for that. I'm very excited.
Ron is so cool. Ron is so cool.
I know.
He's my coolest friend. You're my coolest friend. Well,
thank you, Flo.
Maybe my second coolest friend now that I think about it.
Okay.
I'm happy that the news is finally
being unleashed. And I'm happy that we've got like 5 episodes in the can. It's going really well. So, yeah, Fantastic. It's going to be a good one.
Awesome, man. Congratulations. Can't wait to hear more next week. Windich, that's your new nickname.
Windich.
Why do I always call you Windich?
Nutch. It's Schnutch.
Then Quidditch.
Big difference.
Quidditch.
Big difference. Yeah.
Quidditch.
That's why. Okay, how about Mac and Josh?
Yeah, Mac and Josh. That's good.
Is that better?
I don't know how I follow
Josh.
That. Yeah. I don't know how I follow that news from Ron, though. This is unfair. You put me last after that. Come on.
I know. Somebody's got to follow it.
Yeah, I guess
Where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at The Mac and Josh. The Mac and Josh, if you want to do that.
Something weird about Mac and Josh.
Yeah, that's...
I'm sorry I ever did that.
Not quite right. Yeah.
Sounds like Jordach. Jordach.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to decide whether I want to buy that $300 coffee table book that Apple's putting out. That sounds pretty exciting.
You have better things to spend your money on.
You know, with the images of Apple products.
You could buy an entire smartphone for that.
It's $450. It's like less than a dollar per page. No, it's $300 for 450 pages. It's like less than a dollar per page. Come on.
Yeah, it's a deal. You can do better, Josh.
You seriously can do better. I just want you to think about all the charities that you could give that money to, by
know.
The way.
If I
you
know.
Can afford that book.
I'm not...
Sorry.
How sad is this that people are actually believing me that I'm saying this? I'm not going to buy that book.
Excellent.
I don't think
Good
you
work.
Would. I don't think you would.
We were right. trolled by Josh.
I'm going to call him that.
About.me/JasonHowell. I'm sorry, Josh. I really am. YellowGoldMusic.com for the music that I do sometimes. If you want to have a merry little twitmas, you can. Your wish is our command. You can head over to teespring.com/twitmas to find a number of different shirts sporting our limited time ugly Christmas sweater design. You got to do it before November 23rd. So you have to wear it to all those, you know, ugly sweater parties that you're probably attending. I know you are. I know you better than you know yourself. Teespring.com/twitmas. I should also say that I'm on screensavers, not this week, but next week. And if you have any Android or Google or whatever questions that you want, maybe you'll even be on the show. Maybe we'll bring you on and ask you the question in person. Or on Skype, probably more likely on Skype. Send those questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv, and we will have plenty of options to choose from. We really appreciate that. Be happy to help out. But that is it for this week. For this show, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us a video mail or an email to AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We also have a subreddit where you can post story suggestions and we consider those for the show. That's twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Google Home, you know, whatever. We're everywhere. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, sometime around 5:30 p.m. Pacific, at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.